Chapter 7. 3 questions covered in Chapter 7. Who decides how much one should give? What does it mean to lay up treasures in heaven? How much should one invest in the kingdom of God? New Covenant Principles. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Under the Old Covenant system, God's people were required by the law to give a minimum of a tenth to God. God wants the New Covenant person to decide for himself the amount to give. Whatever the sum, it is to be given cheerfully. A believer cannot allow himself to come under compulsion. Obligatory gifts are not gifts at all. One must resist peer pressure that demands a percentage or a set amount. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The new covenant person is to be led by the Holy Spirit in all aspects of life, including his givings. James chapter 4, verse 17. To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. To him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is sin. Christians are to be fruitful. Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. I am the vine, you are the branches." Branches are to bear fruit. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. In God's kingdom, stinginess costs, and liberality is profitable. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Isaiah 55:9. Christians swath their own path, determine their own future. A wise Christian sows, and sows, and sows, and sows. Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. There are two types of Christians, those who lay up treasures on earth and those who lay up treasures in heaven. The first far outnumbers the second. The foolish man lays up treasures on earth. He lives for today. He embraces the temporary. His barns are always too small. He is a short-sighted man forfeiting eternal rewards for momentary gain. The wise man lays up treasures in heaven. He is an investor. He invests what he has, his abilities, money, time, for a future return. He walks by faith, focusing on the unseen. His life is a preparation for that day he will stand before Christ at the judgment seat. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. This fable may cause the student of the Word to have a deeper appreciation for the above verse. Some years ago, three teens of approximately the same age and intelligence responded to an altar call given by a certain evangelist invited to speak at their school. They each wept away the rebellion and embraced the Lord Jesus Christ into their young lives. They have since, all three, entered the business world, lived a full life, and now are with Jesus in heaven. Today is Judgment Day. Today they must each, along with every other believer, give an account to King Jesus, so they may receive the things, that is, be rewarded for the deeds done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. This is their story. Businessman number one entered the business field immediately after graduation, beginning his career as a real estate salesman. He soon learned to recognize a profitable opportunity and often secured property, usually with very little down payment, and then searched for a less discriminate buyer. His increasing expertise in realty and this simple policy of quick turnover, quick profit, eventually made him a wealthy investor. As a young convert, he was determined to never allow business to interfere with his relationship with Jesus. However, the pressures of business set in, and he spent less and less time in the secret place of the Most High, investing most of his time buying and selling. Love of money crept into his heart. Mammon became God, and God became a lost love. Much time and imagination were spent laying up treasures on earth. He grew callous to the needs of others and critical of anyone less enterprising than himself. He spent the entirety of his wealth on himself and his family. Now he is weeping at the feet of Judge Jesus. All his works is wood, hay, and stubble. Oh, if only he shared at least some of his fortune. If only he invested in the Great Commission. If only he had fruit to lay at the Master's feet. Businessman number two inherited a small construction business from his father and diligently set to work to make the company an impressive and profitable enterprise. In less than 10 years, he was building everything from multiple family units to shopping centers. Business was often very taxing, and yet it never usurped his love for Christ. Over the years, he led many associates and employees to the Lord, and always dealt fairly with his fellow man. Even though most of his profit was spent on himself and his family, a stately home on the lake, impressive cars, vacations 3 or 4 times a year, boats, diamonds, costly wardrobes, etc., he did support his local church and on occasion contributed to various evangelistic concerns, local and international. With mixed emotions, he approaches the judgment seat of Christ. Yes, he is happy about the eternal rewards Judge Jesus so generously bestows upon him for his obedience and accomplishments on planet Earth. and yet he knows he never came close to fulfilling the high calling of God on his life. He never gave sacrificially, but only from the overflow of his abundance. Adulation of men was more valuable than preaching Christ and feeding the poor. More time and energy were spent laying up treasures on earth than securing treasures in heaven. Jesus consoles him and wipes away tears of remorse from his eyes. Businessman number three spent his entire Christian lifetime preparing for this day, and it is indeed a most joyous occasion. He stands confident before Judge Jesus, knowing he had accomplished the work God had given him to do. This man started a janitorial service after working with his uncle as a janitor for 7 years. His rates were competitive. He was always keen to provide efficient service, and he dealt fairly with his employees. He rarely lost a customer, and his profit, though marginal, was consistent. Soon he initiated a second janitorial service in a neighboring city, using the first as a model. Eventually, he had a dozen such small endeavors, each one showing a profit. He then applied his business experience to other ventures and soon had a chain of painting, gardening, and roofing services. Business was always servant and never master. This man held in his heart a deep affection for his Lord, never to be usurped by profit, no matter how sizable. Even when profits began to multiply, he lived in moderation, giving as much as possible to the work of God. Ever in his heart was a compassion for the lost and dying, and ever in his mind was the certainty of Judgment Day, the day of accountability. He lived to give and to serve and to testify to the power and goodness of Christ. There were a few occasions when he made costly miscalculations in his business affairs. He asked God to sharpen his discernment, and he purposed to never enter a business opportunity without an inner assurance it was the Lord's direction. One day the Lord gave him a simple insight which caused his diversified businesses to flourish. Instead of fitting a man to a business, he would fit a business to a man. Previously, he would establish a business in which he was knowledgeable and then spend much time and energy searching for the right man to manage it. Now he would look for an honest, industrious, and usually Christian man and finance a business suitable to his abilities. He hired a young accountant, supplied him with an office, a secretary, and all necessary office equipment, and instructed this young man to establish an accounting bookkeeping service. His own activity in this new business was merely that of consultant. Next, he hired a veterinarian and built an animal clinic. And then he hired a printer and a chef and a plumber and built enterprises conducive to their talents. Every year he added to his businesses, some years as many as 6, becoming more and more diversified. This man and his wife and children lived a fulfilling and joyous life. His was a Christ-centered family. Over the years, he supported every major evangelical organization in North America, giving to some well over $1 million. He supported overseas missions and sent a number of young men and women to Bible school. And he was always sensitive to his fellow man, never critical, always encouraging, always approachable. After he died, the profits from his various businesses continued to pour into the Great Commission. Today he receives his bountiful rewards. His cup is full and overflowing. After many years of anticipation, he hears his master speak those gratifying words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 9. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap. A Christian should consider himself a full-time sower. Due season is forthcoming. God is a good accountant. The sower shall reap from every sown seed. Matthew chapter 19, verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This young man kept his money and his sadness and walked away from the giver of life. Money, or rather the love of money, sends multitudes to hell. Money is a danger to those of both spiritual kingdoms. Money often keeps the pagan from becoming the redeemed and the redeemed from becoming a disciple. Oh, how money costs! How very expensive it can be! Money, or rather the love of money, brings sadness to the Christian. For a bag full of dollars, he forfeits eternal rewards. On judgment day, he weeps before his judge, fruitless. Matthew chapter 19, verse 27. We have forsaken all and followed you. We have forsaken all and followed you. Peter spoke those words to Jesus. Every Christian wants to be able to say those same words to the same person. I have forsaken all and followed you. Romans chapter 14, verse 12. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Every one of us shall give account of himself to God. This should be a very happy occasion, and it can be a very happy occasion. Just a little perception, a little preparation, a little sacrifice, a little wisdom. Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 17. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had 2, he also gained other 2. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. Both of these men heard their Lord say to them, Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. He that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same. This man invested all that he had been given, 5 talents out of 5, and likewise he that had received 2. Christians ask themselves, how much should I give? The answer is, how much have I been given? The good servants invested what they had. The apostles have forsaken all. Jesus humbled himself and became obedient unto death. Another answer might be, how much do I want? the servants were well rewarded. The apostles had stored vast treasures in heaven. Jesus had been given a name which is above every name. The faith walk. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. The just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. Living by faith is not limited to, but certainly includes, laying hands on the sick and seeing them recover, or speaking to the mountain, or exercising authority over powers of darkness. Faith is also focusing on the unseen, preparing for judgment day, being merciful. It has been said that Peter did not walk on water, he walked on the word. Jesus said, "Come," and Peter came. Jesus said, "Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven." That's the word believers are to walk on. That's faith. Faith walks on rock, the rock of God's word. Unbelief walks on sand, words of another. Double-mindedness walks on both. People of faith lay up treasures in heaven. Doubters lay up treasures on earth. The double-minded do both. The just shall live by faith. Faith is to be a way of life. Faith is walking on the word, taking hold of and investing in the promises. Faith is obedience to the one we call Lord. Beware of covetousness. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness. Take heed and beware of covetousness. The fruit of greed is pain and remorse and barrenness. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. He shall suffer loss. He will experience a degree of destitution. He will be poorer than necessary. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. A man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. A man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Jesus said a man's life is not measured by his possessions. The world disagrees. It believes it is. Many Christians live as though it is. But Jesus said it isn't. Goods do not make a person valuable. A fool counts his money to determine his worth. Large barns is little faith. Jesus was born in a stable. He triumphantly entered Jerusalem riding a donkey. He died on a cross. But who could put a value on his life? Colossians chapter 3, verse 25. He that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. He that does wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. There are consequences for wrongdoing. Perhaps those consequences are simply losses, rewards that could have been. Perhaps the repercussions will be more serious. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. They that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Greed is a forerunner of pain. Living to serve. Acts chapter 20, verse 24. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, that I might finish my course. Those who count their lives dear unto themselves will never complete their course. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 15. He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. He died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. This is the Christian's mandate, to die to self and to live for him. To live for Christ is to carry on the work he began. Perhaps this is the only reason the Lord does not take his own to be with him in heaven. There's a job to do. The work is far from finished. Philippians chapter 2, verse 21. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. Many make an art of self-gratification. Few can say, as did Paul, for me to live is Christ, or for whom, Christ, I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. This is faith. This is prudence. This is obedience. Revelations chapter 12, verse 11. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Many of the early church loved not their lives unto the death. There is a link between their dedication and their effectiveness. They were very dedicated and very effective. Many welcomed martyrdom, loving not their lives unto the death. The cost of Christ in fullness is a complete death of self, self-assurance, self-ambitions, self-importance. I must go. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. John 15:5. The less of self, the more of Christ. The more of Christ, the more bountiful the fruit. If one is not willing to lay down his life, he will not have the effectiveness of early church Christianity. His fruit will be limited. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. People can and often do exalt themselves by accumulating. The more they have, the more they are coveted, esteemed, exalted. Matthew chapter 23, verse 12, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. And he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. One cannot humble himself by giving away possessions. One humbles himself by acknowledging his dependency on Christ. A humble man has no need to prove his worth because he already admitted his inability. His worth is in Christ. There is no exaltation of self. Possessions are not needed. He simply wants enough to fulfill his calling. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me. Follow me, Jesus said. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. The true disciple, the good and faithful servant, says, My meat is to do the will of God. He has a purpose for my life. He needs me. If I am not obedient, others will suffer needlessly, some eternally. But I will be obedient. I love God. I appreciate Calvary. I will prove my love and appreciation by my obedience. I live to serve Him. I love Him above all distractions, more than myself. My entire life is a preparation for Judgment Day. He will say unto me, Well done, good and faithful servant. I refuse to be distracted by the cares of this world. I turn away from the world's entertainment. I will not surfeit. I will not hoard. I will not play church. I will not be ashamed of the cross. I am a man in a race. I have one purpose to fulfill God's calling. My meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. John chapter 3, verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. This is the bottom line. Unless a man be born again, he cannot partake of God's kingdom. Jesus will not sup with him. He will never be clean, whole, sanctified. Never. He will not be invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Unless a man be born again, he will go to hell, the lake of fire, the place of eternal banishment. His will be a forever of anguish and remorse. So it behooves the student of the Word to do what you can. Share what you have, your talents, your time, your substance. Let go. Spend wisely. Take a stand against peer pressure from those less dedicated. Invest in the Great Commission. Know the value of a soul. The door will soon be shut, and those on the outside will stay out there. The night comes when no man can work. John 9:4. Appendage to chapter 7. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. 2 Corinthians 5 and 10. It will happen. It will surely happen. There will be a day. We will stand before Christ to receive rewards according to what we have done, whether good or bad. every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess to God, all shall give an account, every man's work shall be made manifest, each shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. The fire shall try every man's work. The judge will give unto each according to his works. Judgment is coming. It will happen. There will be a day. God has decreed. This celestial arrangement, irrevocable. We will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Christ, Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, eyes as flames of fire, feet like fine brass, voice the sound of many waters, countenance as the sun. Holy, holy, holy. He is our King. Christ, Alpha and Omega, first and last, He who lives and was dead and alive forevermore, the Good Shepherd who laid down His life for His sheep, Lamb without blemish and spot, King of kings and Lord of lords, our judge. Order in the court. Judgment commences. The fire is ignited. Testing begins. Our works aflame before us. Gold, silver, precious stones. Wood, hay, stubble. If any man's work remains, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work is burned, he shall suffer loss. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he reap. There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. God is not unrighteous to forget about our labor of love. Whatsoever good things any man does, the same shall he receive. He that does wrong shall receive for the wrong. The judge has said, I am he who searches the heart. The fire continues. Verses learned on earth flash through our minds. Let your light so shine before men. What you hear in the ear, that preach upon the housetops. Let every man prove his own work. Be partakers of the afflictions of the gospel. How shall they preach except they be sent? Blessed are the merciful. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Lay up treasures in heaven. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. No man who wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life. Flames will soon die. Will anything survive? Gold, silver, precious stones? Obedience, good works? Did we abide in the vine? Bring others to heaven? Witness Christ? Were we fishers of men? Did we lament in prayer over our Jerusalem? Invest in the Great Commission? Sound the trumpet? Stand in the gap? Were we merciful? Will our judge say, well done, good and faithful servant?